Hey guys, this is John of Papa's Basement. There's a segment in the upcoming episode where I discuss the death of James Avery, aka Uncle Phil, and I played Boys to Men's It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday underneath it as a bed. Someone cruelly took the utility PC pot out of the program channel, so as I record it, and it sounds like I'm hearing Boys to Men, you're hearing nothing, which makes for great radio, and I'm too lazy to go back and edit it in. So when I'm talking about Uncle Phil and I'm referencing parts of the song, I'm not insane. That was actually playing for me in the studio. So just use the power of imagination. Bye. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. Ba, ba, da, da, da. Ba, 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 da, da, da. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I did that on the actual recording. That wasn't our usual prep where I just blob over it. Blah, 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 blah. That was excellent. The way, this is clean. Sorry to spring that. Yeah, we got it. I'm not going to have another one done in time for the weekend.
Okay, sorry. I got confused for a sec what show we were doing.
Oh, we're not doing the football show right now. We're doing that in a moment.
That's good for the people who hate football.
Exactly. And I don't know. We pulled the football off of Papa's Basement, but I'm going to be talking about it to some degree. The human aspect, how football impacts the life, how I had to try to sneak that in while I had a weekend full of girlfriend.
This is a good conversation because I, too, ended up skipping a little bit of football for some questionable activities, according to many men.
Oh, I we'll get to what I had to watch instead of football.
We'll see who's worse off here.
I'll win. I will slam dunk Spike. I win this already. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Epstein. I've decided to make you Jewish today. Howard Epstein, a.k.a. Howard Flood. You can listen to live episodes of the show every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. at fcac.org/WEBR. Sometimes it's like a fresh episode that actually hasn't been put on the website yet. Most of the time it's a repeat. But haha, joke's on you. Go there. I just wanted to give him a plug. It's been a while. The main site, inpapasbasement.com. Go there every Monday, every Thursday for a show uploaded approximately 1 hour long. Uno, aura, I don't know the rest of that. That was close. vaguely close. And there's a bunch of my writing there as well. Links to the comic I help on, thespookies.com, and pfpod.com. Whenever we do episodes of that, I'm going to put them on In Papa's as well. I'm sick of acting like I don't do a bunch on that site. Like, if you look at that site, it looks like I just do the two shows a week now. Like, I barely write for it. But it's because I do a bunch of other crap now. And I want credit.
You are doing some other stuff.
Well, yeah, I work pretty close to full time. Like, if I'm not doing 40 hours a week at it, like the behind the scenes stuff, because I own the business, takes up my time.
I'll be real though. Like, your intro is getting a little clogged with stuff to promote. It starts like I start glassing over by the time you start talking about doing.
That's
a
comic, fine. That's fine. Why should an intro be designed to retain a listener?
I'm just saying, if you weren't so damn ADD, you could actually like take a break halfway through the show and then be like, hey, check out the Spookies.
I could, except I'm pretty sure we've lost 90% of our listeners by then. if this radio is our listenership is anything like I think it is.
I'm just telling you, man, like there's only so much you can do and like have people retain. Like that's oversaturation in my brain. I'm just like, I don't even remember everything he does at this point.
It's a lot. It's a wall. I guess, yeah. I'll just send them to the website. I didn't mention Twitter handles.
At Papa's Basement.
I didn't mention the Facebook site. Facebook.com/Papa's Basement.
That's good. Yeah, see, this is a better way to do it. You spaced it out.
Okay.
You got to like balance it out with a little bit of good content versus just like, yo, we're going to promote. We got to promote this junk. We got to sell more copies.
Now,
you can't just like go hip hop with like the insane promotional like introduction track.
Like all my Woo Killabee affiliates.
Yeah, like you
so
have.
I can't just hammer it in there at once. So my girlfriend doesn't like it when I climb on top of her and just give her a 120-second jackhammering and declare I'm done. Smoke the air cigarette. Was it as good for you?
You get into that electronic cigarette after sex now? Is that?
You know, I've never tried one of those.
Stephen Dorff recommends them strongly.
Stephen Dorff, a.k.a. Yeah. Blade's Deacon Frost. And about all I remember Stephen Dorff from. But I remember watching Blade in the day and being like, that is one badass white dude.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's pretty good. That is someone I can look up to.
I think he was the star of SFW, one of the finest films Sisters in American with voices? History. Oh. You know what that means, right? You're just pulling my chain.
SFW?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
So F in what?
Oh, okay.
Is like why it's that's the actual title, but of course you can put that on the top on the cover of a VHS tape is how I watched it the first time. But it actually proceeded.
Quiet. The kids at home think we're 22. What's a VHS?
Well, they need to go watch SFW because it was made in the 20th century, but it kind of anticipated some of the concerns that we've had about like the growth of media as well as like the potential for terrorism. Like, it's a very interesting movie.
It's SFW.
Can't believe you haven't even heard of this, man.
No.
Dude, it's
I
one
can't
of the...
believe you haven't heard of Sisters with Voices, so... The ignorant seesaw has balanced, my friend. Someone wasn't into their early 90s black soul music.
Oh, I have just shamed my neighborhood.
Exactly. They're going to run you out of the east side of Balmer.
Probably just break in and steal another laptop.
Are we allowed to talk about you getting busted into?
No.
Yeah. I didn't think so. This is going to be, by the way, one of the last shows that everyone hears that is of this audio quality. I'm just putting that out there now.
For real?
Drink
it
in.
This is news to me.
Drink it in. We're going to be recording from home soon forevermore.
You know that's going to take two. That takes two mics. You were telling me you're only going to buy one.
I think we might, for the first go-around or two, kind of oogie cookie it. Oogie cookie, whatever the hell it's called. Limp Bizkit. It's all the same game. Where you just put one mic right in the middle and everyone circles it.
Dude, come on.
I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it.
You are so stingy.
Not stingy. These mics, like, at a bare minimum are 120 each.
But then, like, on top of that, you're going to test one out, right?
Yeah, I'm buying...
Shouldn't we at least come to studio for another set of episodes?
Yes, yeah.
Before you get the second mic. You should finalize your equipment.
Okay, I'm with you there. I'm saying it just... Count them while they're coming, kids. Enjoy this level of audio while you can, because pretty soon I'm going to be on a Blue Yeti, which every time I say it, I think of Little Yeri, the rooster from Seinfeld. You remember that episode with,
no.
I believe, Marcelino the grocer? He held Jerry hostage by keeping his clown check, which bounced, taped to the side of his register. And eventually he and Kramer got into the world of cockfighting. And the name of their rooster was Little Yeri. Little nice. Jerry, as it were. Marcelino pronounced it Little Yeti. So every time I say Blue Yeti, it sounds just like Little Yeti to me. Kind of mushes together. But yeah, it's supposed to be a good mic, but at the end of the day, it's a $120 USB mic. And I know the people at home don't know what that means, but really, there's XLR mics, which have what looks like, we'll just call them musician plugs. You've seen them before.
Yeah, they got the three-prong head.
Yes. And then USB is supposed to be a notch below, even if it's caught up somewhat. But I will be treating myself to a Blue Yeti purchased today off of a man by the name of Jose, who is selling it to me via Craigslist.
Well, see, we should talk about this more once you have something to promote. You could actually, like, send a copy of that first episode with the Blue Yeti with your review.
Every time I hear Yeti. Yeti. Yeti, I guess we have to say. But you want to say Blue Yeti. Like Y-E-D-D-I. It's silly, but it's funny.
You were definitely the child of a Greek immigrant. I'll say that.
Why? Do I have, like, a lot of... oil on my face. But
now the enjoyment of that bizarre pronunciation.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I love it when words are, what is it, a homonym?
Homonym.
Homonym. No,
I thought you said
let's
the show
call
was
it
clean.
Like it is. Homonym. Right. When stuff sounds alike, comedic powers ensue. Yeah, man, I got into the idea of doing the home stuff because I was recently on a podcast. Screams and Moans. By the way, fun experience.
Didn't know you did that. Thanks for letting me know what's going on in your life outside of this.
Well, that's what the show's for.
Didn't know you're moving on to bigger and better things.
We've become like a real life radio duo. We're like Opie and Anthony. We catch up on the air. The instant the mics are off, it's psh. See ya. I got kids to raise, Aunt, and you've got liquor to drink and a cat to play with.
But you got to tell me when you go behind my back and like work with other podcasts.
I got some
man.
Strange.
Yeah,
I
you
got
did.
Some strange. Yeah, it's at Screams and Moans on Twitter. If you want to check it out, I put the episode I'm on. I think it's called like Dreams and Unicorns or Unicorn Farts or something. There's like a picture of a man with a bloody butt next to a unicorn's horn. So
what kind of show are you doing here? What is this? Tell me about this show. What?
Yeah, the crux of it is the hostess, Megan. She, I think it's a couple episodes old at this point. She's big into horror films.
Okay.
And she's also like big into sex. Not, you know, I guess we all are, but she's at
like
least,
at the same time, she'll throw Halloween on while she's going tantric with somebody.
Yeah, while she cradles the William Shatner mask. She has five in a row.
Put this on.
I don't know. It's kind of a mashup thing. Like the Sports Junkies, they do sports and guy talk. She does like sex talk and horror talk. But
it's a good combo.
She picks like a horror movie, and you watch and discuss that. And then kind of at the second half, you discuss sex. Or, you know,
your lack thereof.
She tosses in, yeah, you know, a little bit. I mean, I got a girlfriend, but we don't have our own places, and neither of us have like blinding sex drives.
Oh, I just meant like you've had these dry periods in your life. I was wondering if you got a chance to talk about those on her show yet.
No. You kind of get like one random sex question for the eve.
Oh, interesting. So you get to pretend like you've been getting it on the regs since you were like 16 then.
Yeah, I gotta say, I was looking at my life the past few years. I've done better than I did. You know, like I've had two girlfriends of at least like 6 months or so. So there have been good chunks of time the last couple of years where you're talking at worst a couple of weeks I was without it.
I mean, I gotta call you out on this because I know we talked about it on air before. But see, I've known you forever.
Yeah.
And so I knew you in like your hard up days of high school and even like the couple years of college that came right after that, where like you went so far as to resort to like pickup artist books.
Oh, those are great. Are you kidding me?
You
Neil Strauss,
those?
The Game and stuff. Oh, yeah. I mean, like the end result of those books is crap.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Because they're trying to sell you happiness. That's it. What is anyone trying to sell you with a product? It's happiness. They're saying you're going to achieve happiness by being able to screw all the women you've always wanted to screw, which really won't make you happy.
Right.
You have to be happy in and of yourself. Now, is it good to learn how to screw women? Yeah. I like that I talk a little better with chicks than I used to.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the biggest hurdle that those books help people with, it's not like they're giving you great advice per se. It's just getting folks to, like, not have it destroy their confidence if a girl's like, hey, get out of my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want to talk.
They want to reduce it to a numbers game. It's really just get out there. I don't know if the books are great for what you said, though, because I think they're like, with all these techniques, no one's going to say no. Like, just study up this book. Who could resist? And I don't think the books typically adequately prepare you for, like, look, once in a while a broad is taken and she actually likes her man and she'll tell you to eat S.
Yeah.
Or sometimes she's just not into you. You know, like if you are the color of Macklemore and you approach Kim Kardashian, probably not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but there is here's the question that always comes up with those books, I think. It's if a girl just like is willing to have a bit of an extended conversation with you at a bar, what can you infer from that? Can you really like take, well, if she's willing to talk to me, that means like she might dig me.
Yeah, yeah. What those books would teach you, you use that whole conversation to display your alpha maleness, display worth, I believe is how they describe it. It's been a while since I looked that stuff up, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You would take this conversation to say, like, this is why I'm the man.
Okay.
Which is a little cheesy, really, because the ways they teach it, it's like you're supposed to mention other women and things like that. I did a lot of things as a kid that I realized just made girls into insecure bitches around me. Like, I would just mention other girls before and after sex and things like that.
Wow.
It was just very rude behavior.
Yeah, that's not cool. I would definitely vouch that that would not be a good thing to do.
Not so much, no. And it almost gets you in some ways to reduce broads to a numbers game which, again, it's an infinite pit, man. If you think screwing two girls a week is going to make you happy, then the only logic that flows from that is screwing four girls a week will make you even happier.
That just sounds tiring.
It is. It really is. And oh, the way I used to have to bang, like, because it was no one that I, you'd see a chick two, three, four times. And every time you just want to give the performance of a lifetime. It's great having a girlfriend just doing like a lazy 10, 20 minute thing now. I used to be up half the night. Like, no joke. I'm not saying that to brag because it wasn't particularly enjoyable. Like, I was just kind of numb down there and I just keep going and going and going.
Hey, I got to ask. So, like, I don't know if you're this way, but I talked to our boy Richie, who's back in the country after being away.
Yes.
I just, one of the conversations I remember the three of us had where I was with him, and I think you were on the out on this, was like, after one night stand, the desire not to listen to most women talk strikes me instantly, where I'm like, I really did just want to have sex with you, because now that you're expressing like emotions, I realize that like your view of the world is like more sensitive than I'm willing to like put up with, because like I think you just need to grow up here. Oh, right. That's, you don't have one. This is why we're here right now. And what you're saying makes me respect you less. I want to go and I never want to talk to you again. Like, that to me is unfortunately like when I realized the difference between like sex and getting a girlfriend.
You know, I've never had in the classical sense a one night stand. It's always been a girl at the very least I've been like hollering at via, the closest I would say I've had is like I've hollered at him for a while online and then we meet and screw like within a very short time window.
But you've actually like vetted them for like a personality fit, right?
I mean, it's more like their attractiveness. I can get along with anyone to a degree. I don't know what else to say.
But you have to want to get along with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I've never, for me, it's never like I've had sex. And this was something that, again, they covered in Pickup. A lot of guys apparently just get very like, oh, I had you, get out of here. I've always been like, we had sex. That wasn't bad. I'd like to do it again. Maybe it's the businessman in me. You know, like, I've never let someone into, as a locksmith, I've never, like, opened someone's car and then gotten, like, real rude and cold. I'm always, like, nice to them because in a pinch, maybe they need to get in again 2 weeks later. Maybe they'll recommend me to someone else.
Yeah, that would be nice, right?
So I've never, yeah, I've put up with people that I wasn't exactly, like, I don't know, compatible with, per se, just because we had sex and they were close. Like, geography plus I can get some from you, that's a recipe for something, as respect, shall we say, or at least acceptance
as long
who
as
you are.
As long as both you on the same page. If, like, there's that sense, especially, like, when, you know, I was younger, I always felt like there's more of a, like, hey, I want to see where this goes thing from the other side, where I'm like, I already know where this is going, and it's basically a repeat performance tonight or nothing.
Hmm.
So, I don't know, like, that's just that's one of the difficulties of, like, that moment when you realize after sex that you really just wanted to have sex with a person and that, like,
and that
who they are as a person is actually not that interesting to you. Like, you didn't do a good job of getting to know them first because, like, after the fact, you start to realize, like, where they want to see this go.
I mean, there are some people. Okay, I can think of one person off the top of my head whose personality was fairly repugnant, and I really didn't like them, and I really did get them the hell out of my bed the next day.
Okay.
But I only screwed them because, like, I'd screwed someone else for the first time earlier that night.
And
okay. I was like, when am I going to have two, like, first-time lays in one
day.
Night?
Okay.
I was like, you just have to.
So that's the closest you've had to that experience. All right.
Yeah, and she was horrible. She, like, snored.
Oh.
And it just wasn't fun.
Poorly vetted experience is what
you're
telling me. All
right. She snored. She said I was bossy, which I was. Because I was just like, you know, flip over, do this, do that. It's the one time I filmed stuff and I deleted it. I think I've told this a million times because, like, I had, I believe it was Cliffhanger on in the background. And so there's just like, there were 8 pictures of me or so getting my, you know, getting serviced while, like, John Malkovich's face, not John Malkovich, John Third Rock, John Lithgow, his face is just looking on in the background. And I didn't realize at the time I was being watched by him. Like, I was just flipping through the pictures the next day. I'm just like, ugh, this is not fun because I didn't like the girl. John Lithgow next to my junk wasn't happy.
I officially want you to get famous if only for the opportunity to meet that man, to just let him know. like how closely you feel connected to him.
Oh, we shared
his
something.
Yeah.
A strand of passion, if you will.
Sadly, it was just an episode of Bad Sex.
Yeah. Not one of my more memorable incidents, but I do recall it.
I don't know how I'd feel about that if somebody walked up and was like, yo, man, I associate your face with like an episode of Bad Sex. Like one of the worst lays I ever had was while your face was on the TV. Just wanted to let you know that.
I mean, I'd be happy if I was at that fame level, but I'm not John Lithgow. If someone mentioned anything about my show in concert with any moment of their life, be like, wow, I matter.
So tell me more about this moment of your life on this other podcast. You've been
streams
trifling behind
and
my
moans.
Back.
Yeah. Yes, as I turned you out. I turned you out. I needed, you know, you're getting sloppy and fat, and I needed something tight and younger.
All right, well, what's this Megan putting out with, man? What's she got for you on the air? Like, how good was this?
It was a good time, man. We discussed dead snow. Like, she, about a week before the recording, I just found her on Twitter. Like, someone retweeted her being like, hey, who wants to be on the show? And it was like Sunday after the Sunday night game. And I'm like, screw it, let's do this. You know me, I love writing checks that my ass abhors cashing later, but it's the only way I do anything in my life.
Strangely,
so
yes.
Yeah, I remember when I signed up to do the class for this, I was like, I want to be on the radio. And then the Saturday before, I had to be here at 9 a.m. while working like an actual 9-to-5 back then. And I'm saying this for comedic effect, and I never really did this, but one of my coworkers, it was the start of NBA playoffs, and she was a Suns fan, and she might have come over with a big bag of blow before the Suns came on, and we might have stayed up doing that until 5 a.m., but I'm saying that for comedic effect, and it wasn't really what happened. We didn't chop them on the red plates I had in my first apartment.
Great story.
Yeah.
Great storytelling.
Yes, exactly. Considering it was all made up, and for comedic effect, we didn't stay up and watch Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash. I'm trying to remember the whole gang back then. But yeah, so I said, screw it, I want to be on. And then she told me the format of the show is very preptacular. You watch a movie, a horror movie. I got to pick between, I think the top two seeds were Jack Frost and Dead Snow. And Jack Frost, if you haven't heard of it, Will was obsessed with it as a kid. Back when he watched VHS tapes, which again, way too old for me. You and I grew up watching Thomas the Tank Engine on DVD in our parents' SUVs. Right. But he watched Jack Frost, about a killer snowman. And then there's
Weird.
Dead Snow, which is zombie Nazis reanimating and killing this bunch of Swedish kids in a ski lodge.
What year was that made?
Dead Snow is like 2010.
Okay.
It's pretty recent. Okay. I want to say Jack Frost is like 92.
Dead Snow's a foreign film, right?
Yeah, it's Norse, Sweden.
Did you go
some of those places where they melted people's golden teeth.
Did you go with subtitles or dubbed?
Netflix. It was Netflix, so I had subtitles as the only option.
Good for you. I prefer
I felt very artsy-fartsy. I'd actually seen it last year, 2 years ago, of my own accord, but I rewatched it.
Re-upped. Good.
Yeah, I was initially going to do Jack Frost, and then I was like, well, in case I don't get to see it, I can riff from memory. Plus, I like the whole Nordic, Swedish, Danish, whatever the hell that area is. The Scandinavians. I find their culture fascinating. I watched Lilyhammer. That's a little weird.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
a
yeah.
A glimpse into Norway.
Through the eyes of a Jersey.
Yeah, Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah. Member of the E Street Band, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah. And he was, what, Silvio Dante on Sopranos. But I enjoyed Lilyhammer. I've also seen, I think it's called Let the Right One In. It was a vampire film set in the 80s.
I'm a big Roxette fan.
You know,
love their music.
Oh, God, Roxette. Yeah. ABBA. Group ABBA. How can you go wrong with If You Change Your Mind?
I did see Mamma Mia in London. I will admit that. Yeah.
Okay, queer bait.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I haven't gone that far, but I do enjoy me some ABBA. Actually, I can out-gay you. I really like the whole Erasure, a very, very gay British duo, did an EP called ABBA-esque back in 90 or 91, and it kind of brought ABBA's music back. And it, not that it went away that much, but it really got it popular again.
Right.
And it's just these two gay Brits doing like synthy techno, even more techno versions of ABBA.
Can you send me the link on that?
Can I play some right now? I mean, you're not afraid of...
Nah, dude, that's not...
That's not kosher?
Well, let's... Come on, let's get more into the show that you did. So you talked about the movie, right?
Yeah, and we then discussed Dead Snow. The nuances of Dead Snow, and you should check it out if you haven't seen it. It's okay.
I'm just curious about this transition from talking about movies and then going into, like, is there some sort of email, like address I can send a question to, and then, like...
I think if you tweet her, she actually will make that like the sex question of the week.
Okay.
I don't really have a wild answer. To be honest, my sex life is not, and not just with the current chick, just anyone. I'm pretty meat and potatoes. Like, she was literally, the question was, what haven't you done that you are just champing at the bit to do? That you'd love to do.
Because I was wondering if it was more like advice or just getting you to be pervy, basically.
I mean, I guess, again, if I was a pervier guy, that could have been a little pervy.
Okay.
But it wasn't, because I was like, you know what? Need to have two broads at once. That's about it.
Huh. I'm going to take a second. I have to think about this.
Yeah, I need two at once, because the current chick was number 19. And if I don't get to 20 before I die, heads are going to roll. A nice even number. I'd like more beyond that, but you know.
Yeah, I'm
and I'm not saying that in an on the side kind of way, just within the confines of, you know, the current thing. But then it's like, can you really just have a hot steamy threesome with your girlfriend? Because you're bringing in a girl who's like looking for a big production with your girlfriend who's used to like, let's screw for 10 minutes and go to Chipotle. These two worlds, I don't know if they mingle so well.
Yeah, the threesome is an odd thing to introduce into a relationship. I think it's definitely got to be like two randos.
That's really what I've heard from a lot of people, like, yeah. Or two friends, and you kind of just escalate it a little more that one time. Because I've certainly had friends that were like, or chicks I wasn't that serious with, and it was like,
right.
That's on the table. But again, because you're not serious with them, it's very hard to make a plan with them. And really to be able to pull rank and be like, okay, this is happening, and with her. Because I don't know if you've tried planning it. Every girl thinks they're a 9 all of a sudden when it comes to threesome time. It's always like, ew, with that pig? It's like, hey, honey, I'm sorry. What do you think you're bringing to the table?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a... I've never really like done it in a public place. Like, I'm not vanilla, so...
Yeah, I think Meg had mentioned she was big on that. I'm not... Personally, I don't care for it. I don't like the getting caught, so I'm kind of rushing to the finish line.
Well, I'm not like trying to...
No one's trying to get caught.
Do
it
in
happens.
Like section 418 at Giant Stadium or something like that. Nah, I'm just... there's got to be something. Like, even a friggin' tent. Never even gone camping in like... Because I don't really like camping. So I'm not going to do it in a tent because, you know what? I don't like camping. That sounds unpleasant.
You know, when I was a kid, I think maybe the only time I went camping was the last day of, was it Camp Akela? One of, you know, Boy Scout camps got these weird engine names. It's really like off of, you know, Manassas Pike 234, but it's Camp Akela, Camp Weeblo, all that stuff. And I remember the last day I was camping. I just camped with my pops and I woke up to fresh air. That was nice. He had a cooler full of cold cuts. So I had like a turkey sandwich for breakfast. And I was like, this is the life. I don't want to ruin the purity of that memory.
Okay.
With some stinking up a tent with that sex smell.
I mean, speaking of Manassas, you did kind of like put in my head what I think it would have to be. And that's, I want to get a pickup at some point. I want to have a lifestyle where I need a pickup. But one of the things
murderer.
I want to do. What's that?
A murderer just tossing corpses in the back?
No, that's what you need like one of those Econo vans for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The free kitten
about,
sign like, on the side.
Pick up. That's not how you hide a body. Come on, John.
Toss a tarp.
Amateur.
Just pay 3 or 4 Mexicans from the Home Depot to sit around it. Act like it's a pile of pickaxes.
Nah, man.
Tell them to whack it with a shovel if it moves or groans.
Bet of a F-250. That's probably how I want to go. That's probably the next thing I want to explore.
An F-250. What does an F-250 run?
What
does the 150 run, for that matter? Those things have become gigantic.
Well, I don't want a new one. I actually want one that would be considered antique soon, because the way that they've remade them, they're impossible to work on now. I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination, but if I were ever going to have a prayer to work on my own pickup, it would have to be like one of the 80s pickups, maybe early 90s. But like once you start getting into like the 21st century with the Ford pickups, you're basically just... You have to take that in to get worked on. Like, it's very difficult to work on those.
That's no fun.
No, it's really just like you're in an SUV now.
I wish you had known me earlier. My buddy Rich, not Little Rich we mentioned, Big Black Rich. There's Little White Rich, Big Black Rich. Big Rich, he had a GMC pickup that I think was like a 91, and he bought it for $600, $500 in that range, had like 250,000 on it.
Nice.
He left it parked on the street. One day, a guy randomly totaled his car by like just hitting the backside, which bent Rich's bumper, and really nothing more. Like just an old guy.
Yeah.
He was like one day, oh, I forgot I'm old. I do things like this. It just veers into Rich's truck, and I literally was talking to Rich on my cell phone, and I like saw it happen because like Rich lived like four houses down from me at the time. I was like, yo, some dude, I think, just hit your truck, man. And we walked out and sorted it out. It was very funny.
Weird.
So he got more than the value of the truck just for like a bent bumper to get fixed, which of course he never did because it was a beater. And I think he ended up selling it for like $1,200 on Craigslist. There was no point to that story other than it was truck related. And I wish he could have cut you in on that because it's the perfect truck for you. Hell, I wish I had that truck.
Yeah, no, it's
like a stick shift truck. Circa 89, 93, yeah. Something like that. It's baller.
You got to have the lifestyle for it, and living in Northern Virginia is not a place to be, like, rolling around in a pickup truck.
Dude,
like,
if you have a pickup in Northern Virginia, I'm sorry about your tiny penis. That's really how I view it.
The only time to have it is if you actually do make money from landscaping or removing snow.
I've always said, if you have a pickup and the bed is unscathed, grow up. Grow up, stop playing cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
Get a car you actually need.
Yeah, but I mean, it is, I do like having this aspiration of like being useful on the weekends as opposed to, you know, finding a watering hole to like get my next hangover. Like, this is something that
we'll discuss the drinking in a second. I'm just saying pickups entail every friend ever bugging you to move. Just putting that out there now. We all know it. I've seen bumper stickers to the effect of, yes, I have a pickup. No, I won't help you move.
Yeah.
But I do know that Rich was my designated moving bitch for the duration of his ownership.
I would only have a truck that, I guess that's a good point. I should probably only consider having trucks that I'm willing to lend out as opposed to.
Ugh, so that means automatic.
No, I mean, I'm like, see, you're right, because I did help somebody move once who borrowed a stick shift pickup from a friend, and that guy wasn't there. I didn't know this guy. But I knew where he worked. He was a bartender, that guy who owned the pickup. So this wasn't even a friend I was helping move. Basically, I was helping a friend move into an apartment where the previous tenant had not removed her crap. So we had to get the other girl.
You were pulling an eviction like me then.
She was out. She was more than happy to move out. She just took an extra day.
Okay.
So like,
so it wasn't a crying black family.
And this is when I was in school, so we knew this girl. She wasn't a friend, but like we just had to help her. So I was like, all right, I'm in the truck. I'll help her like get her stuff to storage and all that. She couldn't drive his truck. And I've worked on farms like in the Rockies, so I know how to drive a pickup in all kinds of conditions in the mountains. This is when I lived in the Appalachian, so it's not as hard to drive a stick there, but still, you got some hills. She couldn't handle it. She kept stalling out and screwing up his clutch. And I was telling her multiple times, like, hey, you know, you can let me drive. There was actually this Mormon guy who was super nice that had also come to help this friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He did his Mormon mission in Chile. So, you know, we've been driving in the Andes and all this. So, like, he even made, like, these nice comments of, yeah, you know, I had to drive a pickup just like this when I was in the Andes doing my mission.
And if I were being me and not a stupid bitch, this is how I would drive it.
And so we were both, like, throwing our softballs of, like, we think you should let us drive this because this isn't even your truck. And all you're doing is burning this guy's clutch out.
Yeah.
And she just wouldn't let us. She was like, ugh. No. So I honestly, like,
that's your reward. That is your reward for helping someone, replacing your clutch to the tune of what, 500 or something?
I honestly did go find this bartender. I didn't know him. I was like, hey, obviously I got a drink, maybe two or three. And I just told the guy, hey, man, just got to let you know, I helped that girl move.
Given it's you,
your truck.
You got three and put 10 on top of it.
Well, he did give me one free, too, so.
Okay.
No, I don't think I was, I don't think I was like happy tip mode yet. I don't think I was in happy tip mode. But I might have that night because like I saw how much he was going to have to spend to replace his clutch. So. But I
twisted your arm into alcoholic abandon.
I warned him. I was like, hey, listen, man, she did not treat your car, like your truck right. And there were two people that she, not just one, not just me, but dude who went on a Mormon mission in the Andes was not allowed to drive your truck over her. And she just stalled out on every hill. She messed your truck up. So that's why I don't ever want an automatic pickup while like my left leg still works.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do worry about like you call me to ask for moving assistance and driving my stick.
Sorry, I'm looking up something to we have to close the episode in a special way.
All right, man. So you did enjoy what's it called? Screams and Moans?
Screams and Moans. It was a good time.
All right. You gonna go back?
Yeah, I guess if Meg will have me, I think she's probably trying to reach out to the rest of the podcast universe before me, but I'd do a repeat performance. Why you have to, it took like barely any time. Like it's an hour long episode. And she was like, well, we do, you know, we get to know each other and then we, God, can you pull your t-shirt down? Really?
You like that? You like that happy trail?
You remind me, there's a Kids in the Hall sketch where they're all talking about their beer bellies and they're shoving tongue depressors in and they dig out like their keys and stuff like that.
Ew.
It reminded me of that. Yeah, she was like, well, then I edit it down from like 2 hours recorded to one. And I was like, hey, sister, I'm going to stop you right there. What we do is going to be live to tape. I've been doing this for a while. You're covered. And sure enough, man, I was in and out in 1 hour. So she's got an hour-long episode.
Good for that. You might get an invite back. I'll say this, though. Like, having talked to you about seeing other people now, I feel like it's okay as long as you keep circulating. You know, I want you now out there, like, doing all kinds of different shows. I don't want to hear you going back on that show until you do at least, like, four more different podcasts in the area, man.
Hey, you know, I've realized, like, even though all of us podcasters have approximately 5 listeners each, it's a good way to reach out to those 5 listeners. So, yeah, if anyone has a podcast, hell, have me on. I think, I've been on a couple, but that's the first one recently where they actually got in touch with me. I think I was on, like, Guesthouse Radio or something once, but that was just my buddy. And, like, he had Fred Smoot, the Redskin, bail on him at the last second. And he was like, hey, call in. And so I just did 40 minutes of being an utter terror. That one turned out okay too.
Yo, scout up the Baltimore scene, man. I'll host you. We'll get some chaps. We'll get something
chaps. Sweet chaps pit beef. I'm not really eating meat anymore, but I will for chaps. Okay. Oh, I will for chaps.
All right.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, the girlfriend's a pescatarian who just happens to eat like a huge hunk of beef every time I'm with her. So I can have some cheat time too.
All right.
Okay, what do we have next on the outline? There was momentum just dying a dog's death, going through.
Fred, I thought you were going to play like a clip and we could roll out, man. I want to eat.
What?
We got 42 minutes.
42
all right.
Minutes.
All right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. What we did seemed to flow rather quickly, but yeah, we got a couple minutes left, man.
All right. Well, you were making it sound like this was the outro clip. You got the outro clip ready?
Oh, I found the outro clip. It's going to involve music, and we can trim it from the version that we syndicate out. This will just be for the one that plays on the station, because we have all our licensing for the station.
Right.
Since you're so afraid, even though this would be 100 times better with the audio in the mix. Come on, Howard. Come on, Howard.
Hey, this is Papa's Basement, man. I'm not affiliated directly with this. I'm just here as a guest. Do what you want, man.
All right.
Do what you want.
Then I'm doing it right now. This is just in the middle of the episode. I don't even care that we're not ending with this because it just occurred to me right now and we have to do this before we can continue. Please don't have an ad. Oh, wait, never mind. That's the wrong pot. I dramatically did nothing. Okay, so here it comes. There we go. Uncle Phil, James Avery. Too sweet to last too long in this world. Taken from us. I believe 54 years old. I like to say 54 years young, Howard. He could be way older or younger than that. I want to say 54, though.
We're talking about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
If you had to have that explained to you, I don't want you listening to the show.
I mean, I watched, don't get me wrong, I pretty much watched that religiously as a kid.
I watched it
weekly,
all.
Weekly, daily, when it went into repeat.
Oh, I didn't get into it once it was syndication. I was Monday nights, I believe, 8 or 9 p.m. NBC. I enjoyed my dark-skinned Aunt Viv. I enjoyed my light-skinned Aunt Viv.
I wonder what she's looking like these days.
Who, the dark one or the light one?
No, that's right. No, the dark one, man.
I saw a reunited photo in Karen Parsons, a.k.a. Hillary, not looking so great.
Oh, really?
I was kind of shocked by that. Because when I was a kid, oh, did I want to screw Karen Parsons. Oh, oh, Christ almighty, I wanted to put a whipping on that.
Oh,
and I mean that, by the way, in the Ghetto Boys gangster of love, put a whipping on her blank. Not a racist whipping on a black woman thing. I want to be very clear about that. Tatiana Ali, however, little Ashley, if I remember correctly, she's looking not too shabby.
And she looked weird when she was a kid. That was
she
the funny
did.
Part.
I did not feel her at all.
No. But like towards the very end of that, where I was just like, yo, is she going to go the route of Alyssa Milano? Is she going to be in like Poison Ivy 4?
That would have been nice. Yeah. I don't think either Karen Parsons or Ashley Tatiana Ali. I don't think either one has bared the goods. Because trust me, I got bored a couple months ago and just decided to look. And I think you'll get bikini pictures. For Tatiana Ali, I'm very sure there are like some nice bikini pictures, but that's about it. Karen Parsons, nothing. She just married some like French dude and has these two kids that look like really creepy, curly haired, but white as hell. I don't know. Ugh. They look like Falcor, both of them. I don't like that. But yeah, that was just a moment for Uncle Phil, man. Oh, wait, the note's coming. Here it comes. Oh, yeah. That's mourning right there. That's a man's heartbreaking. I heard that on the way home. I forgot where I learned it. I was driving home from Rockville, and I just learned that Uncle Phil passed. And I was like, oh, no. No. And I tore my garment like a Roman mother, seeing her son coming home on his shield.
Wow.
I love that show, man. That's one of those. I'm never fazed by big celebrity deaths. It's always the little ones that get to me. Like a couple here or there that are near and dear to you, like James Gandolfini. He was no A-list star. That rocked me, man. TV, you're just closer to TV people.
Interesting. Yeah, when you tune in weekly to check in on somebody.
That's a big deal. Well, radio, closest of all. Like, I remember Don Geronimo, man. You remember when his wife died in the accident, Frida?
I wasn't listening to radio at that time, but that devastated you, man.
I was so bummed.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Don Geronimo hosted the Don and Mike show 3 to 7 p.m. D.C., like, I don't know, starting, Christ, 1990 up through 2010, something like that. He got out at, like, 21 years. And he's back right now doing just the Don Geronimo show. But for the longest time, he did this kind of, I don't know, like, if you've ever heard Howard Stern or Opie and Anthony, something of that ilk. And he used to call his wife all the time on air. And she was just a character. She just, you knew her. You knew her foibles. You knew the real her. And then it's like, dude, she died. That screwed with me.
Yeah. Nah, that was,
I think it was like right after my pops. Or no, it was a couple years after my pops died. But yeah, just not happy. Way to make the show a bummer, you ass. I hate you, Howard.
Why you got...
you all right there? I'm just typing up the outline.
No, I'm just like, if we could only have Uncle Phil back and give Will Smith's entire acting career since Fresh Prince to the grave.
Oh, I would just trade their lives.
Wow.
Their actual lives.
Wow.
Uncle Phil starts putting it to Jada.
Wow.
And he has Jaden and Willow. Because I hate Will, and I hate Jada. Jada's like foxy, except she's a midget.
Yeah, she's disturbingly short.
She's like 4'6" or something like that. And I hate their kids with their names that are Will plus O for Willow and Jada with the N for Jaden. How vain. How vain.
I do like I did like I Am Legend out of Will. I did like that.
No, because if you know the real story, that was just a crappy take on it.
But like the
not to pull
the production.
That card. Not to pull the, well, I know the real thing and I'm better than you.
It's just the production that went into it, I felt like, reflects the direction that Hollywood should go. So independent of like whether it was better than the like original take of the movie or the actual book itself, I think what they did for 21st century film was important. That's how I look at that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was forgotten, to be honest. I don't even remember it getting like a big HBO rotation.
The problem is it's just very copyable, if you will. And so like it's been replaced already. So
yeah, but they made it that way.
It's just, it was, I appreciate it. It would be nice to see it on TV once in a while. And they do play it occasionally. But yeah, it's not getting as much replay as other things. So, but definitely things like Walking Dead obviously have much more entertainment value for people today. So I don't disagree with that. I'm keeping up. I stopped watching middle of second season on Walking Dead, man. Should I be watching that?
Oh, you're talking to the champion of tapping out on Walking Dead. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You think I've been with that?
I'm not sure. I thought like you might have like kept up a little bit.
No, like right before the second season started, I watched the first season on Netflix, which was 6 episodes long. To me, the show's never been better than those 6. They're really well directed, everything. They got it done. Second season starts. I'm okay with that. They're pretty much chilling on a farm, if I recall. I think the farm lasts for like the entirety of season 2.
Does it? Okay. I got kind of bored when they showed up at the farm too.
Yeah. So each Walking Dead season, if I recall, split in twain, split asunder. It's a halvesies thing. So I watched all of season 2. Season 3, they're in a prison. It's about up to where I read the comic as well. And I got like halfway through season 3. And when they took their little, you know, long winter's nap for season 3, I was like, I'm not coming back to you. And I haven't since. And I really haven't felt like I missed anything. It's like Sons of Anarchy, where I left end of season 3. I just have friends describe what happened, or I'll read the Wikipedia, and because I know the characters, I'm like, okay, we're done.
At this point, I'm most likely to catch up. I've seen a little bit of Game of Thrones, and the only reason
That's good still.
But they're maintaining a connection to the books.
Oh, right? they do very little different from the books.
That's why I would trust that series, because all these others are pretty much like the X-Files to me. I was last betrayed by a television show. I'll never let it happen again with the X-Files.
Do you remember before The Sopranos how like the X-Files were almost like this benchmark of TV drama? Like, X-Files came out, what, 93? And it was like 93 to 2001 maybe. And like around 99, Sopranos drops. And it's just like, oh, this is what actual TV drama is. This is art on TV. Screw your pathetic little X-Files.
X-Files was good for, I would say, like, you could give the first 5 seasons some credit for being good television. The problem was it became this opportunity to just take advantage of people tuning in every week. It stopped being about telling a story, and it just became, like, how long can we keep this up? And that is what I hate about American television the most. You don't have a story arc that ends. There's no, like, defined, this is how we're going to wrap it up to give everybody the satisfaction. I mean, I've talked about this before. Like, when I was in law school, my law school girlfriend used to talk all the time about Lost is the best show on television. I'm like, I don't know. I tune in. It seems entertaining. But it's one of those things where there's this overlying story arc that you have to buy in by the end if you're ever going to enjoy it fully. And everybody complained about the last episode of that. Now, Sopranos, I know people complained about the last episode. But still, that show was appreciable within each individual season. I actually quit on Sopranos too because there were like down seasons to me where I was like, I just can't follow some of the dramatic plot arcs that they go with. But at least they ended it.
It's weird. When you go back, I want to say the last season, because I bought Apple TV for the family for Christmas. I was like, my family is dumb. They don't know how to use like Netflix off of the Wii. They can't use HBO Go off of the Xbox. Like I put systems out in the living room for them to use. They can't figure out a damn thing. They're simpletons, my mom and my brother.
With a baby boomer and a musician, so.
Yeah, I don't know. My uncle's a musician. He's not technologically stupid. Like, he can build guitars and crap like that. Will didn't get that, though. He just, he doesn't even, like, stream HBO or Netflix on his phone. I'm like, it doesn't get easier than that, but he doesn't do it. So I bought Apple TV just because it has the easiest interface possible. It's like a second remote. It pretty much has a go button. It's like go and stop. and it hooks right into the TV. And I bought that, and he has been able to piece together how to use the HBO Go app. And he has been crushing Sopranos. Just he's rewatching it over and over.
Nice.
It's almost like he's an autistic. Like, he literally has just done it start to finish, and I think he's going through start to finish again. And I got to say, it did have some slow spots, but the last couple seasons, I think, were actually stronger than the first few. The first few, a lot of people like more, but I think that was just because it was kind of coarse, and it was more violent. And it had filthier language and more bared bosoms.
I mean, there are always good storylines, like the Annabella Sciorra storyline was great.
Oh, God, she's hot.
Yeah.
Oh, she never took it off on that show. Killed me. Killed me. Any one of Tony's Gumars needed to pull him out. If people don't remember who Annabella was, she was the car salesman, the depressive, who, spoiler alert, turn this off if you've never watched. Have you seen this one?
Just tell me.
She hangs herself.
Oh, surprise.
In part because Tony gives her the punt. Tony has an epiphany that all he does is date impossible to please bitchy brunettes. An epiphany your boy had as well.
I got to say, like, all my... tell me if I'm getting this wrong. I think one of my all-time favorite scenes is she makes him dinner. He shows up late and throws, like, this huge steak at him.
Yes.
And don't they just have sex on, like, the middle of her living room right there?
I don't remember if they screw after that. But I remember, yeah, he shows up late for dinner. And she was like, you know, wanted to pull the, I've made this dinner for us. And she just ends up lobbing the meat at him.
But I think he still gets his. And it's like raw, man. It's just like, wow.
That's Tony's a dude. Alpha. That Tony's is alpha. Dude. That entire show is just Tony being AAF alpha as you know what. That could have just like your, what was your Sisters with Voices movie? SFW?
Yeah.
Sopranos could have been called AAF. Tony Soprano is AAF. Yeah. There was one time just to get on paper that he was working at a place. His lawyer advised him on this just to get on paper that he was working so he could then like get the health care from this place, because they all needed on paper legit jobs just for the health care from those jobs. So he has to like establish an office back in like an auto parts dealership he used to work. And this okay looking blonde walks in as he's talking to the, you know, the Italian overseer guy, and they look at each other. He's like, oh yeah, you know, too bad she's born again. And then like two scenes later, it's just Tony is sitting in his office seat with like his big red grunting, I'm exerting effort face, pounding this chick as she's sitting on top of it and she's facing out. And you just see him smiling. Like he has this big smile on his face, just like the same smile he had when he was like eating ice cream and watching the History Channel. Like I just loved what a creature of vice he was on that show. And like how they never had it where it looked like he was always able to give it, but it looked like he was going to have a coronary as he did. It was never just like he rolled over and he was cool with making it look like he was used to this. It was like he pounded that broad, but he sounded like he was going to die afterward.
I always found the storylines with his children increasingly tiresome. Like Meadow was pretty cool at first, but then like I just grew tired of her and I never really bought into the younger son's storyline either.
AJ.
Yeah.
Hold on.
They were distractions.
Writing the outline.
They were distractions from what I felt like had so many other good characters to emphasize. So.
Meadow was just boring. She got into law, actually, by the end. She was a law clerk, and then she, I think, passed her bar and stuff like that.
When she started at Columbia, and then like began to date
crazy
that one
roommate.
Guy that ended up getting killed by Tony at the end of season 2 or whatever.
Well, he was killed by Vito. It was actually like Vito's first appearance.
I'm just like, whatever. Like, this is so dumb. Like, get rid of this storyline. Like,
I never
I can't
cared
waste my
for
time
Meadow
this
much.
Is be.
Like, you wanted to do her, but there were times she had this weird, like, 50s broad hair. Like, I think it was, like, the start of season 6, maybe, or some part of 5.
You don't dig that look?
No, I didn't like it on her. Like, it's just going to all the characters. I want to say it's the start of 6, because it's, like, they show Vito. And it's, like, her dancing seductively for her boyfriend, Finn. I'm just like, what is that Mary Tyler Moore crap on the top of her head? I hated it. It really took me out of it. And not to sound like a, you know, all mincy, like I really care what the hair is, but I wasn't too down for it. AJ was great, just as a spoiled, entitled little brat. I gotta dispute you on that one, man. The final season AJ story is great.
Was totally checked out by that.
Oh, you need to.
I'm not going to watch it, man.
All he does is bitch about how he can't get a job because his parents won't let him. Like, he has this hot blonde. Oh, so hot that he meets, like, at a loony bin after he tries to kill himself or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're just sitting and talking for the longest time. Like, Tony charges in at one point while she's in there. He's just like, I forget why he's pissed. I think he might have to clear out AJ because at this point, Phil's trying to whack everyone.
Oh.
But he charges in and he's like, hey, we could have been doing something. And Tony's so pissed because his son's just not getting any. And Tony, you know, crushes it all. He goes, yeah, but you weren't. The delivery was so killer. So good. Yeah, but you weren't, you fruit. I'll do what I say because I'm the silverback of this house.
Wow.
And then at the very end, he finally starts like hooking up with this blonde. And she's like, you know, we're such good friends. And he's like, yeah, I really don't want to risk the friendship. And he sincerely means it. And yet he still ends up pulling this. So good.
I'll say this. I did watch a lot of Entourage. I appreciated Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Oh, I watched all of that.
Appearing. I didn't watch the final season because I knew that was just going to be like a masturbation
party. Season 3, it was crap. I watched it. I did HBO Go for it. Like, I didn't watch it until years after it was done. And I just went right through all of it.
Yeah.
Just mowed it down.
That final season, though, was it just a huge circle jerk? Like, because that's what it seemed like to me.
Oh, the final season was like the worst by far.
Yeah,
it was literally
yeah.
just like the final few episodes, if I recall. It was like, oh, Adrian Grenier or whatever the hell his name is, like suddenly like this one out of the million chicks he's porked, this is the one he loves. And then like it's like a double wedding episode or some crap.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
They do nothing to develop anything. It's like literally with 3 episodes left, it's like, oh, he's in love now. And the short guy is gonna marry the that Israeli broad.
Wow.
Emmanuel Curie or whatever the hell.
So Turtle doesn't marry Meadow Soprano?
I don't think Turtle pulls Meadow,
right.
If I remember. I think that runs its course.
I wasn't sure if they ever brought her back. I was kind of right around the time I checked out.
No, it's just like, oh, there's going to be a double wedding for the finale episode, because why shouldn't there be like 2 jets going off to Monaco for a double wedding or some crap like that?
Are they
going to
make movies for that now?
It's already been like, it's in production.
Is it?
It's no rumor. It's been greenlit, and I think they like started working on it 6 months ago.
Because for the four, well, I guess Kevin Dillon might have a career afterwards. But like for the other 3, do you really see them being able to break out of those roles? Because they weren't very good actors, honestly, within those roles. It just seemed like a buddy comedy show that was legit because they're not very good at being.
I can kind of give you a rundown on what all of them have done. Kevin Dillon, the creepier looking brother of Matt Dillon. It is Dillon. I've appeared in just standard roles because he had an acting life before. He'll have one after that. Adrian dude did like one documentary about being part Mexican or some crap. I think
he's kind of doing his own thing. I kind of respect him, like not necessarily trying to go out there and get roles, because I think he knows like when you play the
something
like,
that
caricature of Mark Wahlberg, you're probably not going to be that famous afterwards.
Well, it's just, yeah, a lot of these guys haven't been able to springboard from these HBO roles into much bigger. Like, look at Charlotte from Sex and the City. Everyone's like, oh, she's cute as a button. She didn't do crap after that.
Though, like, with some people, they just choose not to because that money's pretty good off, like, TV replays. Like, Sex and the City, they're good, man.
See,
that's
I think HBO's good.
I've
heard HBO is not big on paying its people much.
Dude, but the HBO shows that make it on the TBS... that's money in the bank.
I suppose, yeah. When you get that far, you do get paid for the syndication.
Yeah.
But Turtle lost a bunch of weight.
He's been doing black comedies now. Not like
you mean
dark
like,
comedies,
yeah,
like
you mean
for
actual,
black
like,
people.
BET. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because he dated like a black chick on 2 episodes of the show. So they're just like, oh, Turtle, all right.
Yeah.
I like that boy. And what's the little midget? I forget his name. Oh, we're almost done. Don't worry.
I was just, because you're trying to put this on real radio, so.
Yeah, the little midget was, why? What, did we drop an F-bomb or something?
No, like, don't you have to do, like, you have a 55-minute show, I thought, or 58 minutes.
It's like an hour flat.
All
right. We can punch out right now. Yeah, so the Kevin guy, he did a documentary on the Islanders.
Okay.
And that's all we got. So now we can do our outro. Dun, dun, dun. Start. There we go. All right, Howard, thank you for joining me.
I enjoyed this trip down memory lane of recent television.
Hopefully the listener will as well.
You got to review once in a while, man. You can't just keep moving along with the culture. Once in a while, you got to revisit and remind yourself if you like things or not.
I like how you succinctly wrap that up. I'm John Papagiorgio. This was Papa's Basement. You want to tweet me, it's at Papa's Basement, the show's site in papasbasement.com. New episodes of this show every Monday and every Thursday. Please find us on iTunes. That's the big thing. Look up Papa's Basement there, as well as Papa's Football Podcast, where it's us, except we talk about, you guessed it, football. Till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis. Yeah. Then he said masturbation. Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.